And now sliding into the studio with us on Static this evening, a couple of gentlemen that won't be appearing at Newtown Festival but are having their own show this evening, Nick and Phil from Cut Off Your Hands. Welcome back to Sydney, gentlemen.
Hey.
How are you both doing?
Yeah, good.
Do you know which country you're in at the moment now? Is it hard to keep track?
No. It says it on the sign when you get through the airport.
The accents are still fresh every time you go somewhere, are they, Nick? You can still pick a strong Australian accent.
And, yeah, for sure. And a strong New Zealand one. It's always the strongest on the plane ride home.
Is it?
Yeah.
It's reassuring that you guys haven't got English accents from the amount of time. You've been trying real hard not to increase your vowel lengths and stuff like that, have you, Phil?
We've been having speech training to try and have like a worldwide accent.
An internationalist accent.
Yeah.
Because you've spent a hell of a lot of time in the UK this year, I guess the most.
Yeah, we've pretty much lived there this year. We still have a house where we're paying rent there.
Yep. And it's all been, I guess, getting to the purpose of making the album, you and I, which is finally out. So was the relocation sort of born of needing to make the record for you guys, or was it a step of, you know, making Cut Off Your Hands an international band, Phil?
No, it was more because our record label were over there and we were going to record with Burna Butler. So, yeah, it just made sense to move there and then, you know, start playing shows and touring around the UK and seeing how that goes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you'd been chipping away at it because last year you spent some time there and did the Blue on Blue EP with Burna Butler as well. So it was obviously a harmonious partnership and you couldn't wait to do more, Nick?
Yeah. And, I mean, there was a few different choices. And the reason why we had to go to England was, like, we were thinking of working with a guy called Flood, and he would have had to been flown all the way to New Zealand to do it and to afford the kind of space and stuff. And so with moving to England and having just being in that city and you know, it was just easier to catch a train to work rather than fly someone in. You know.
Yeah, you guys probably fly economy as well. You know, Flood would maybe demand first class.
Yeah.
And you also had a couple of goes, a song that you guys did with Stephen Street.
Yeah, it's on the record.
Has ended up on the record. So how much work did you end up doing with him?
Well, it was just, it was meant to be two songs. I think we tried Expectations with him as well, but that didn't work. And so, yeah, I think it was a total of 3 days or something like that.
Not a pretty bad roster of guys to be talking about making a debut album with. Mm. People like Stephen Street, I'd be sitting there asking Blur and Smith's questions and not getting any work done.
That's the best thing about those kinds of guys, eh? Like, producers, they don't really do much when it comes to recording, but like, they have a lot of good stories.
They've got the stories.
Yeah. Ed Flat had heaps of stories. We like went out to dinner and just he would talk for about 3 hours about Nick Cave and Smashing Pumpkins and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. And was it intimidating then? I mean, for such big producers to be looking at them for Cut Off Your Hands' debut album, did it feel like you were ready for them, Nick?
Well, I think, that's why one of the contributing factors for going with Burna was that he was at our level of, you know, understood us. And someone like Flood, I think we felt like we had to be a bit more of a mature band to work with. We felt like we had to have a lot more of the direction ourselves. And Bernard is very hands-on and like putting a lot of suggestions to the songs, whereas, you know, Flood will sit back and... But the influence is there as well, if you know what I mean.
So Flood doesn't earn his money then, is what you're saying.
In different ways.
You guys seem to, though, have been pretty conscious of broadening the songs of Cut Off Your Hands for the debut album, though. I mean, was that part of the idea when you went to make an album? Were you aware of sort of the possibilities in doing a full length?
Yeah, we wanted it to sound like Phil Spector and all those kinds of things. And I don't know, we just wanted to make an album instead of a collection of songs, which the EPs are. And so for a debut record, that means there's a lot more scope for things like, dynamics and song structures, and not everything was just the fast songs like on the EPs. Yeah.
Did it feel like the EPs almost had to be attention-grabbing kind of releases?
Yeah.
Not that the album isn't. But I mean, you certainly stretch yourselves musically. From the visual aspect, Nick, you've got the big drum to now pound on stage for songs Happy As Can Be.
Yeah, playing some guitar in some songs as well, so getting more involved.
Was that born out of, again, wanting to stretch the structure of Cut Off Your Hands, even in a live setting? Were you sick of climbing the roofs at venues and needed something else to occupy your hands with?
Yeah, you just get kind of... Yeah, well, there's some of the songs that are the main ones on the new record that we're most excited about aren't necessarily as, you know, fast or, you know, crazy or spazzy or whatever as the old ones, so you can't... So for me, with just standing there, you know, and they have a big rhythmical presence as well. Like we're talking about that Phil Spector thing and the wall of sound, like drums, the way that heaps of layerings. And so on the record, there's heaps of layering of tom drums and stuff. And so, yeah, it was born of a necessity to incorporate a live show that still had energy, but perhaps in a new way that wasn't, you know, flailing about climbing on top of the Gaelic Theatre.
Yeah. So you actually could sort of build the sound of Cut Off Your Hands?
Yeah.
Is that hard for you guys in the rhythm section then, Phil, to kind of go with that?
Nah. it's fine. Brent's a pretty competent drummer, and bass is pretty easy.
Even speaking of Phil Spector, there's stuff like Sleigh Bells on...
Happy, yeah.
Yeah, we haven't been able to incorporate that live yet, but we're thinking about maybe doing something with it for Falls Festival or Langley.
Right, getting a sleigh bell section.
We almost had a guy on the other day in Auckland play with us, doing all the keys and all the samples and stuff, but we got stuck in an airport for like 6 hours and our plane got cancelled 3 times, so we didn't end up getting a sound check. But that would have been really cool to see how that sounded, so that's what we're kind of aiming for the next lot of tours, I reckon.
And great to have those soaring ballads on the album, Nick, like Nostalgia and Heartbreak.
Yeah.
Had you been itching to write and record songs like those?
Yeah. I think that's what we felt had been limited from, well, where we had felt limited with the EPs, was that it was just a reflection of what was going on live, and we had all these other things that we weren't quite, well, we were all influenced by a bunch of different things other than At the Drive-In and Cure Not You, so like we wanted to, and our favourite music was always changing, and that was just a reflection of that, and I think it would be, and maybe also the path that we'll choose for subsequent recordings, mm-hmm. could possibly be a lot more mellow, or less, or maybe more brooding and intense than fast-paced and jerky,
Hand in hand with that stuff, lyrically, you've sort of pulled no punches on some of the quieter songs as well, like In the Name of Jesus Christ and Someone Like Daniel. I mean, was that important for you as well, for those songs to make them personal?
Yeah, I think, well, it just happened the way it did. There wasn't any foresight into it. We'd finished the record by the time those songs got written, and they were just ones I did in, like, Someone Like Daniel was done in my bedroom. I didn't really think about it as for the record, and same with In the Name of Jesus Christ. It was done after we'd pretty much brought together the songs that we did, and we went away on tour, and I was listening to the rough mixes and just thinking we did need something more. We needed something slightly mellow, like on the record. It just felt like it was all too much of the same thing. And when we had those songs, when Bernard actually listened to those songs, I didn't expect him to like them, but he was like, that these should be on the record. And also just because thematically the lyrics are, slightly, getting into new areas rather than just, the same old stuff in the old songs. So.
Was that hard for you to write songs like that? You weren't worried about getting excommunicated for singing about the hypocrisy of the church?
There's been a lot of stuff which I was worried about. Like, a lot of the stories on the record have kind of, like the first time my girlfriend heard Happy As Can Be, she kind of freaked out about it. But, songs are only just a moment of time or a snapshot of what you're feeling at a certain time, and they can be a reflection of that, or someone else can take whatever they want from it. So it doesn't have to be taken so literally. So when she heard that, she was a bit offended, that's the first thing she's got. Other people are hearing it. It was like about our relationship. It's just so kind of out there. Same with, In the Name of Jesus. My mum was pretty upset about having her reference to her, and Someone Like Daniel, I don't know how those people whose parents, like one of the guys, the characters in the song who actually died, is like a friend of ours' dad, and wonder what she's going to think when she hears it. And so, there's a bunch of honesty on the record, but you got to be honest.
You must also have days, though, when you're not feeling so chipper and don't want to get up there and sing a song like Oh Girl.
Yeah. Well, we played Someone Like Daniel the other week at a secret New Zealand show that we did last minute, and I don't know, it's going to take a while until we're able to pull it off properly, because we went after Closed Eyes and then started playing Someone Like Daniel as the encore, and it was just really weird.
Brought the mood down.
Yeah, it was real strange.
I guess, putting lyrics like those in the songs as well probably reflect how far all of you and Cut Off Your Hands have come together as a band. Do you feel like you've really grown in the last couple of years by living overseas and playing overseas and sort of having those experiences, Phil?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we're all in that time of our lives when we're maturing a lot quicker than our previous years or something like that. So yeah, I guess that's reflected in...
Still prone to a bit of immaturity here and there though, right?
Yeah, of course.
And I'm hoping there'll be shades of immaturity on stage this evening.
See how we go. We never plan it, so...
All right.
It might be real boring, it might not.
Our friends are playing as well. They're opening called Brand New Math from Auckland. It's their first time over here, so it'd be cool if people came early.
Yes, it's an invasion tonight.
Yeah. And Jack Ladder as well.
So. Yeah, and you guys are Lords of Sydney tonight. We'll let you get back and get ready. We'll listen to, I guess, the most upbeat song on the record then, after having this intense talk. We'll play It Doesn't Matter, which is... Cool. Such a happy song, it's even got its own whistling solo. So thank you both for calling in, Phil and Nick. Have yourselves a top show at the Gaelic Club tonight. And this is Cut Off Your Hands on Static, and take care in the rest of the world.
Cheers.
Thank you.
See you later.